What if your personal or business brand was so focused and so on target that it was easy for everyone in your organization to understand? What if you connected with your clients on an emotional level so deeply that they never forgot you? This is what the most successful brands in the world do. It's not about ad budgets. It's about developing a consistent brand, no matter the industry, location, or size of the company. Discover your brand and create an amazing, foolproof marketing strategy. This is the Brand Archetypes Podcast, hosted by Kevin Scarrett and Amy Zander, owners of BrandArchetypes.com. Join them on a journey to discover your most powerful, true brand.
Welcome back to the Brand Archetypes Podcast, everyone. This is Kevin Scarrett, and I am with Amy Zander on a blustery day here on this side of the state. How are you, Amy?
I'm doing pretty well. Yeah, it's rainy and cool, but the weekend is supposed to be fantastic, so I'm excited.
Very good. So we are talking about the magician today, and it's going to be a magical experience, I predict.
I think so too. Yeah, absolutely.
let's dive in. The big ideas behind the magician are the concept of transformation. In fact, this was such an important idea for us that we, for a while, a couple of years ago, we renamed the entire archetype as the butterfly because, you know, we've talked about this in past podcasts where words have baggage. They have nuance and meaning, and sometimes that's not such a great thing. Sometimes it's awesome, but you know, if you think about a magician, a lot of people get an image of a guy with a long white beard and a pointy hat and a stick with a star on the end of it. And it's like, okay, that's maybe not the best idea, but definitely transformation and butterflies definitely fit. And we're going to bring up that word butterfly here in a bit. So magicians are also very aspirational. They make people's dreams come true. And of course, that takes a certain amount of magic, right? And they take things to the next level. They magically reveal ideas and truths and all the possibilities that are out there that you may or may not have been aware of. They make people feel curious and intrigued and fascinated, and eventually they feel enlightened. And this process always has kind of this mystical kind of feel to it. So the magician seeks to change people's lives. That's the really big idea through these aspirational and magical ways, right?
Yeah, I agree. And back to kind of the difference between the magician and the butterfly, I think sometimes people also, along with the imagery of the wise old wizard, the magician can also conjure up, if you will, feelings of like trickery or sleight of hand. And true. That's more of a negative feeling, and that is not what we're trying. You know, that's not what the magician's about. So that's why sometimes the word butterfly resonates with people better.
Right, and we will be bringing both of these ideas up here shortly.
Yeah. Right? So the magician can also be known as the visionary, the transformer, the wizard, like you said, or shaman, catalyst, conjurer, or sorcerer.
Right, and again, as you say those words, like shaman and sorcerer, they, you know, the people who are shamans and sorcerers, they have this magical way about them, but they definitely have baggage as well. So it really is not like you're going to be using the word magician in your marketing. Let's be really clear about that. You just need to understand that if you choose this archetype, your brand is going to exude this magical quality, and you are definitely going to be transforming and changing people's lives. Right?
Absolutely.
So the sub-archetypes, like we said, we called the magician the butterfly for a while. And so when it came down to breaking the archetype into sub-archetypes, we realized that there are two very clear, distinct aspects to the archetype. The first one is where processes and ideas and things, they're all magical. And that's the magician sub-archetype. And the other is transformation. So changing people's lives and taking them from here to there, or taking away pains, or making life better, all of those transformational processes we call the butterfly sub-archetype. So as we talk about examples, we can probably guess which is which. So Why don't you give us some examples?
Sure. So one of the examples that you and I like to use, but it also kind of dates us a little bit, is the Calgon commercials, where the woman slips into the bathtub and she's transformed to a, you know, peaceful tropical island or something like that. The Calgon, take me away.
That's awesome.
And Calgon's just bath soap. It's not really all that magical, but the feelings that it exudes, you know, makes you feel magical and transformed. Yeah. So,
I think that was probably the very first and really truly effective magical transformational brand and marketing campaign. And my gosh, that was early 70s when that first came out, mid 70s. We have a copy of the old commercial from the 70s on the Magician Archetype webpage at brandarchetypes.com if you want to go check out. If you are so young that you don't remember Calgon and you don't remember their tagline is take me away, then definitely go watch that commercial, because old people like us, you know, anyone above like probably 40, 45 will remember that.
Right.
Well, a big part of our culture.
Yeah, a slightly more modern version could be the I Can't Believe It's Not Butter commercials. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like it's not butter, it's magically not butter. And then poof, that I think, I forget his name, but like that buff guy with the long blonde hair or whatever would show up. And
Fabio,
yeah. That's right. Yeah. Oh, gosh, that's such a weird spokesperson for that product. But yeah, that's kind of this similar feel to that kind of thing. A little bit quirkier, but that same magical element to that.
Right.
So another good example would be MasterCard, not quite so obvious, but still a really good magician brand. You know, they kind of make you feel like you can transform your lives with your purchasing power and different things that you can do if you have the power of MasterCard behind you.
Hey, I have one.
Yeah.
Do you remember it's a fairly recent one, the Snickers commercial with Joe Pesci?
Yes.
Where it's like, okay, what is Joe Pesci hanging out with these average dudes? And he's just like really ticked off about something because he's Joe Pesci, right?
Right.
And he's hangry because he needs his Snickers. I think that's an awesome, magical example.
Yeah. They've used a few different, well-known people for those ads. And my favorite one is the Betty White one.
Oh, yeah.
Where she's hangry. And I think it's like football players or something. That's really funny. Yeah, that's right. A good one, Snickers.
Right.
So another good example is Gillette Venus razors. They do a good job of changing how you view yourself and your skin. Use these razors and your skin will be amazing, that kind of thing. And then Macy's has the word magic right in their tagline, the magic of Macy's. They do a lot of feeling like you're transformed into a different place when you shop at Macy's and things like that. So those are some really good examples. I have two clients I work with that really stand out to me that use the magician. One of them is a chiropractic office. And when we were going through their brand discovery session, you know, because they're in the healthcare, and we've talked about this before, healthcare tends to lean towards, you know, the mother archetype, right. That caring, nurturing thing, or possibly the guru, some health things do that. And so we talked about their competition, and they really, people go to the chiropractor when they have issues, but they also go to the chiropractor to just stay tuned up and in top shape and top form. And they really, they work with a lot of athletes and stuff. And so we talked about transforming your health and your life and things like that. So I think they do a really good job of taking an aspect of the health industry and using a different archetype for it to stand out. I think they do a good job of that.
Right.
And then one of my more recent ones is a roofing company.
Really?
And they chose the magician. And this is great because I think the trades, a lot of trades companies have so much business that they don't spend a lot of time thinking about their advertising just because they've got a lot of work. And you and I know that that's not the way to go about your marketing. However, it just happens when you're really busy. But the
term flatten the curve has different meaning.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But they've really embraced it. And they're just one of these companies that just gets marketing and they get the message. And They talk about how, you know, they have a lot of technology. They're really advanced in the technology they use. And they tell their homeowners, like, you know, we try to roof your house so you don't even know we're there. And we clean up our mess. And, you know, presto changeo, you've got a new roof and like all this really cool stuff.
Presto
and
it,
yeah. So I don't think we've actually used that term in their marketing, but we do have that that feel to it. Like, you know, they're going to transform your house and, you know, all that stuff. So
let me guess, were they before this process, were they the neighbor archetype? Almost all construction trades people seem like, okay, we're going to be really easy to work with.
Right. They may have been by default, but they hadn't really been thinking about it. But it was so funny because when we were doing the brand strategy, I was in a room with all these, like, you know, construction roofing guys. Yeah. And they were like, well, one of the first things the boss said, he's like, we just know that we're not going to be the neighbor. And I was like, all right, half of my battle is done, right? Like, they got it. They knew that they didn't want to be like everybody else. So that was really fun.
Excellent.
So, yeah.
So with all of these examples, you gave a really great one, the Gillette Venus Razors. And one of their commercials really stands out to me. The woman had vitiligo, but it was all over her face and her hands and her shoulders and her arms. And there is another commercial who it was not Maybelline. It was a woman's, and this it upsets me that I can't remember. But the whole point of it was that a woman's weight is not something that should be shamed, that you should be proud of it. And then another commercial was focused on how much time and energy is put into the photoshopping of models to make them look perfect.
Right.
And that you really don't need to do that. So this whole concept of image, self-image, and shaming, and how people feel about themselves and their bodies, this is becoming a thing in the last 7 or 8 years. And I think it's a very good thing. And all of these processes, all of these ideas are all about changing how you view yourself. So I thought that the Gillette Venus Razors one that you gave as an example is really, really good.
That's true. Yeah. And I could see where it'd be really easy for makeup and that kind of stuff to take on the magician, like transform yourself. But you don't want to make people feel like they have to transform themselves. They're good just the way they are. So it's a delicate balance, but you're right.
An internal change, you know, internal how you view yourself is not something that you have to, right?
Right,
Which is all very healthy, you know, very healthy.
Yeah.
It's powerful stuff.
Yeah, kudos to Gillette for, like, tackling that issue.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Which is your point. Yeah, for sure.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do a SWOT analysis: strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And I figure, you know, after doing this 12 times, I might actually be able to say those four words in a row normally someday.
It's kind of a tongue twister.
So let's start with the pros or the strengths. So the magician absolutely makes people feel that anything is possible. This whole magical process is what you're doing and what you're imparting on this company or this consumer or the creation of the product. But the audience, they need to feel that anything is possible, that their dreams can come true, that you're going to turn their dreams into reality. So this is a really powerful aspect of the magician archetype. The magician brands will excite people, they'll mesmerize, they'll uplift and enlighten people. So if you have an audience that seeks out inspiration or they need a change in their life because, frankly, the way that their life is currently right now with the old products and services, it kind of sucks. So, yeah, I'm really looking for a change, a big change. And that's an opportunity, not an opportunity, but it's a strength of the magician that they're the ones that can do that.
Right? Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So the flip side of that, the cons and the weaknesses to be aware of with this archetype is kind of goes back to that whole sleight of hand thing we were talking about, is that you don't want to come off as manipulative, right? So you want to still be honest or transparent. So yeah, being manipulated is one of this brand's biggest fears and something you want to for sure avoid. And even though the magician provides transformation and dreams, it still has to be trustworthy and believable. So if you are too fantastical, you will lose your audience. So, yeah, so I have to have that element of truth in there. And you don't want to be seen as not grounded or impractical or too whimsical, something like that. You still want to be taken, you know, seriously enough for somebody to buy your product or service. Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, if a person's going to buy into it, and I literally mean buy into the change, they have to believe that it's true and real.
Right. You
know? Yeah, I get that.
Yeah. Don't oversell, I guess, would be
another way.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, it's always a good to undersell and overdeliver. That's always mm-hmm. just good business practice, right? So the opportunities is, so if you're trying to impart these ideas of change into your target audience through your products and services, and one opportunity is that magic, they steer people to find these solutions to everything. So your company is going to be creating these solutions and people will be seeking them out. And that's a great match. So it really is the kind of the ultimate win-win solution. And if you're doing these things that are kind of magical, there's probably a really good chance that you're one of just a few people, if not the only one, who's actually doing it this way. One of the reasons these ideas will seem magical is because other people haven't come up with them. It's like,
yeah.
Oh, that was really amazing that you came up with that. What's up with that?
Right.
And so magicians do tend to do things a bit differently and better, and they're willing to be a little braver and go out on that leading edge, cutting edge space. And so a magician brand is also good for those people seeking to make a change. So if, like we were talking about with Gillette, a change in their physique, a change in their appearance, a change to their emotional state, a change to their career, a change to their relationships. You can pretty much pick an aspect of life, and if you need a change, then a magician is just queued up and ripe for the opportunity to be the one to help you with that.
Yeah. So again, I'm always playing the devil's advocate here. So the threats to the magician archetype, we talked a little bit about if you're too fantastical or unbelievable, you diminish your connections and your relationships. So you still have to have that element of truth or attainability, because people still want to feel that they can connect with your brand. And if you're seen as impractical, you could lose out to other brands like the Guru, which is all about logic and information, or the Hero, which is about getting things done now. Or the neighbor, which is easy to understand and relate to. So you've got to keep your competition in mind and what they're doing, and make sure that you're not, like we said, not overselling.
Right.
Yeah.
So my bet is with the magician, all archetypes. You know, if you've been listening to our podcast at all, you know about our word banks, and every one of our archetypes has this pages and pages and pages long list of power words and verbs and phrases and ideas. And I think the magician has a pretty unique set in it. It's just so obvious that this batch of words is tagged right directly to the magician concept. You know, words like transformation don't appear anywhere else in any of the archetypes. So why don't you walk us through some of those awesome words?
Yeah, so some of the power words, like you said, transformation is a great one. We have catalyst, change, customize, enhance, evolution, innovative, new, renewed, restored, transformed, and all the versions of transform, transformational, transforming, transformative, all those cool things like we were talking about. And then some of the verbs: beautify, change, customize, enhance, energize, evolve, innovate, modernize, reform, refresh, renew, renovate, restore, revitalize, transfigure. Those are all really good words. And then we have some power phrases, and I like these because you can easily put these into your marketing slogans and campaigns. Mm-hmm. So like a breakthrough in blank, like it could be like a breakthrough in razors, or a fresh approach to roofing, a time to grow and change, a true innovation, anything except the ordinary. I like that one. Mm-hmm. Fresh, innovative styling, imaginative design, innovators, not imitators. That's another good one.
Right.
Yeah. So if you like these words and want more of those, we, of course, like you said, have the word bank. Just get in touch with us at brandarchetypes.com, and you can have that word bank or any of them from the other archetypes.
And if you're trying to come up with your own words, you know, that's okay. But, you know, boy, you'll save yourself a ton of time. As you were reading the verbs, I was kind of struck by the whole series of words. You have to go back and listen to it, but the whole series of words that you used that had re.
That's true.
It's like, huh, yeah, I guess re is a magical transformative idea, isn't it?
That's right. True. Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so let's go up against archetype against archetype. So let's, why don't you give me, I'm going to take the neighbor side and you give me an archetype I need to go up against.
How about the guru?
Okay, well, we talked about the guru earlier, and that's about knowledge and information. Gurus depend on data. It's low energy. Magician is not super high energy, but, you know, magic can be pretty exciting. So the energy level comes from this excitement of experiencing a new thing. So gurus, like neighbors, are low energy, and the guru depends on data. Not very magical. So if you need that extra energy, you're going to come to the magician and you're not going to be satisfied with the low energy of the guru or the neighbor. Plus, if you're really looking for the change, the guru might bring information that changes your life, but that's not their focus. Their focus is providing the information. And if it happens to change your life, great, but that's not really their concern.
Right. So, yeah. With the guru, with all that data and facts and figures and numbers and experience like that, I mean, they might be right, but there's no magical element to that. It's not exciting.
I'm not totally jazzed at, you know, yeah.
Right.
Charts and Excel spreadsheets. Woohoo.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So what about the ruler?
Well, the ruler is all about power. And, you know, I suppose you could make an argument that there is power behind magic, but the ruler's power is about dominance and being number one. And it's kind of a brute force kind of power, where a magician's power comes from this mystical, magical source that can't really be identified in the real world, right?
Right.
So the ruler, think of, you know, big strong guy, where the magician is rarely played in movies as a big strong muscle guy, right? It's usually a kind of an average physique kind of dude with the underlying power, you know, like Gandalf has that underlying power, right?
Right. So, but in the end, he was pretty badass. So.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Okay, so let's overlap some. I'll let you take the magician, and how about if you compare the magician to, say, the artist?
Yeah, so that's a good one.
Or the creator,
the artist or creator. There's a lot of creativity in magic and things like that. But I would say artistic people to me seem to have their own like inner magic, whether they're a musician or a painter or a jewelry maker. I mean, when you tap into that creative side,
inspiration,
yeah, I could see where the artist and the magician could really overlap in that way. That's a powerful thing to tap into, that inner creative magic. Yeah.
Well, when you say it that way, I will assume that you're going to think that the lover also has overlap as well. You know, that passion for art, you know, it was the first thing when you started talking about their inner magic of artistry and creativity, I thought of, oh, that's also kind of a passion. So
that's true, because transforming people's lives does take energy, commitment and passion. And so there's a lot of passion in the lover. That is for sure. That I could see a good overlap there between the lover and the magician.
Okay.
Yeah. But to be clear, we're not talking about magic potions to make someone fall in love with you.
Yeah. Oh.
I know.
Okay. Yeah. I'm set in that regard. Anyway, we're good.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. How about the explorer?
Yeah, so yeah, that's a good one too. The explorer seeks out new experiences, right? So there's the two sides of the explorer, the one about physical exploration and then the one about, you know, experiencing new things. And the magician creates those things. So they could work very very closely together, hand in hand, or overlap like that. That's a really good example too.
And so we could just run down the entire list of 12. We're not going to do that here, and we have not done that with our past podcasts. But for sure, every one of the 12 main archetypes or the 26 sub-archetypes can be pitted against and try to be evaluated with regard to overlap with any of the other 26 sub-archetypes or 12 main archetypes.
Right.
And depending on who you are and who your competitors are or who you think your future competitors might be, you really need to go through that exercise. And so these examples that we've been giving about going up against other archetypes or overlap with archetypes, it's for that purpose. Is, you know, we're not going to try to go through all, what is it, 500 and some
combinations.
Right. It's like, but maybe we will, you know,
right.
When we really, really run thin on podcast ideas.
Right.
No, maybe not. Okay.
Well, and we usually touch upon this a little bit too, when we talk about each archetype, is industries that tend to gravitate towards certain archetypes. And we covered the makeup and personal beauty kind of.
Yeah, I think that's a recent thing.
Towards the magician. But I don't ever, as we've been talking about this, I can't really come up with a whole other industry that's dominated by a magician. Can you?
No. I think that just the underlying idea of how people market their products and services, but especially products, I think, that products are kind of... people buy things. Well, you know, here's a big idea that I tell people. Have you heard the phrase rock in the shoe?
Yeah.
If someone has a rock in their shoe and you're the one who removes the rock, you know, it's kind of like the thorn in the lion's paw.
Right.
If you're the one to remove the pain, you're the one who's seen as the savior, the savior of the day, the awesome person. Oh my gosh, I've been suffering with this so long. Well, everybody has a rock in their shoe. Everybody has a rock in their shoe. Your product and service is to remove the pain. And if you don't view your products and services that way, then you're missing out on an opportunity. Well, this metaphor can seem like a magical process. I've been suffering with this rock in the shoe pain for such a long time, and you're the one who removed it. You know, that's an opportunity for a magician to really shine. And so, I think that all products and services have the opportunity in this context. So it's not really surprising that there's not a single industry that, you know, everybody's drawn to the idea.
Right.
Because everybody's kind of drawn to it in a way.
Yeah, that's true. That's a really good way to put that. Yeah.
Okay, let's wrap up. Of course, if you have questions, you can call us and contact us in any way that you see fit by going to brandarchetypes.com. On our contact page, we have all of our social platforms on our contact forms and our phone numbers and email and all of that.
Yep. And again, just a second little plug for our word list. If you like these words or want to explore the magician further, you can again go to brandarchetypes.com, the magician page, and see those examples that we were talking about, the commercials and things like that. And then we have the word list for this or any of the other archetypes. So please follow us on our Facebook page and our other social platforms.
Awesome. And we're getting down to it. We only have three archetypes left. We have artist, innocent, and ruler. So next week we will be diving into those. And as we wrap up, we'll be then getting into the really fun stuff. So we hope you come back next week to wrap up the last of few of the archetypes, and I will talk to you next week, Amy.
Sounds good. Have a good one. Bye.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
You've been listening to the Brand Archetypes Podcast. Are you ready to discover your company's archetype? Check out brandarchetypes.com, where you can download the book, find out about archetype-specific strategies, connect with us on social media, and sign up for our newsletter.